Morning, everybody. Welcome. If this is your first time with us, my name is Des. I'm the lead pastor here. If you were here last week, great. If you weren't, I want to tell you to go home and listen to it. If you've not already listened to it, because it sets the tone for the whole year, not just for my life, but for our life this year. And with that in mind, let's stand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Get used to this. We're going to pray. We pray. One of the things that Jesus compelled and was angry about was that his house was not a house of prayer, and it should have been a house of prayer. And so that is just a reality. We're going to lean in hard into that this year. So at the top of this morning, I'm going to pray. If you've come in here heavy, burdened, carrying stuff, let's pray now for all of that. And let's know that this next time we have together has the power to transform our lives and the city around us. Okay? Let's pray. King Jesus, we give our lives afresh to you today. We ask now, Holy Spirit, reveal to us from your word what you need us to hear. Reveal to us what you need us to see. Help us to offload what we do not need to carry anymore. Help us to have clarity with the things that are not of you and the things that should be of you. King Jesus, we give you praise this morning for the years of service that Jordan gave to Grace Community Church. So we now send him in the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus, that he continues to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in his future ministry. King Jesus, we thank you that we have this opportunity to hear from the throne of heaven right now. So we declare our ears are open, our hearts are open, our palms are up. We say, Jesus, come speak in your powerful name. Amen. Take a seat. So this series, just to lean into all of that, I've called it Uncivilized. I'll explain why in a moment. But as Mo shared out in the Ramada today on the porch, there's information about classes and groups. Let me just say this. You were not designed, and it is unbiblical, to follow Jesus on your own. Designed to do it in community. We've got things starting that will help you have breakthrough this year. Grief Share is starting. If you've gone through grief at any time in your life and you're trying to navigate it on your own, you know it's not working. You need the body in and around you. Grief Share starting. Alpha starting soon. If you've got questions about what is this following Jesus thing, maybe you think you've got answers all locked down and maybe you've not. Maybe you're still inquiring about it. Alpha is what you need. Find out about that and more. Financial Peace University, all going. These things are all designed to help you. Be the Bridge has started. That's so powerful. We have two groups. If you want to jump in, I think you have to jump in this week or you've missed the boat. We have a Monday one and a Tuesday one, other small groups, men's, women's. But here's the point. I know for us to really go and move the way the Lord wants us to, you can't do it on your own. So that's why we provide that for you. Here we go with this deal. There's a thing called institutional syndrome or institutionalization. It's a very real condition, and it's often associated with people who've been in a very strict environment, and when they step out of that strict environment, even though they're free from it, they've still got it. And they even sometimes take some of those behaviors and fasten them on to their newfound freedom because they got so used to it. It's called institutional syndrome. A prime example is those who've been in prison for many years. They've been imprisoned, and then when they've served their sentence and they come out of prison, you'd think everything's all good. But because of the institutionalization they've gone through, they are now free, but not free. They're not free of the institution. And they struggle with that freedom, some so much so, actually feel more free in prison than they do out. Institutional syndrome also exists within religious movements. And sadly also exists for many people in the Big C Church. Grew up in an institutionalized system. And even though the gospel was about freedom, We struggle with it, and that's exactly why Paul wrote to the Galatian church. This season, I'm going to go for 7 weeks through the book of Galatians. Galatia is a region, it's in modern-day Turkey. A lot of Celts came into that area, Roman occupation at the time, different cities, brand new churches, people who, some of them did grow up Jewish, some of them didn't. In that in mind, things come in, the church forms, and Paul writes to this region of churches because he sees them not living free. What's happened is they've had this found freedom, but then they've bolted onto it again. Religion and rules and systems and requirements and laws and legalism has all got added in. There are some people who live the religious way as Jewish people. They come to know Jesus. They have this radical transformation, but they say, but let's add that to it. Let's keep some of those older customs and rules. Maybe God will be more pleased with us. Maybe we need to add that in. And he comes and he wants to write to this church. The book of Galatians, often we preach from chapter 5 because it's nice. But we don't give the whole picture. So week 1 today, overview, chapter 1. Next week, chapter 2. Guess what the third week's going to be? Chapter 3. Then we'll go chapter 4. Then we'll go chapter 5. Then we'll go chapter 5, part 2. Ah, see? And then we'll do chapter 6. That's 7 weeks done. So there's a whole picture. So today's not a standalone, but I do want to set the tone and the heartbeat behind why Paul writes to this church. The book of Galatians was instrumental church history-wise in so many ways. It was massive for people like Martin Luther. The Reformation came about because people were reading it and going in Galatians and going, oh boy, we've got institutionalized. We've got a bunch of religion and rules and rituals and laws and behaviors and all these different things. That's not it. We need to go to back to what it really is. And that's happened in history. And I want to remind you, some of you, this season is going to be a season of you becoming unshackled from things that you didn't realize but have been bolted onto your faith that are actually trapping and religious and legalistic. And Christ came to give you freedom. So, with that in mind, Galatians chapter 1, they'll be on the screen. I'm not going to go the whole chapter. He gives an opening greeting like he always does. He gives this greeting, and this is the way I am, blah, 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 blah. And then he just cuts straight into it, verse 6, Galatians chapter 1. Paul says this, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Why is he saying that? The gospel, good news. Because the one you're turning to is not good news. It's no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Very quickly, let me explain this. There was these people who were originally Jewish, and they got this name Judaizers. We're following Jesus, but we're Judaizing it. We're following Jesus, but now you're a follower of Jesus, and even though you weren't Jewish, and you need some of that Jewish stuff. So get circumcised, men. Ouch. You need these covenant signs that God had for us, and you need them. Some of these legalistic ways of what we eat and where you go and how you dress and how you behave, and you need to do some of this again. They were Judaizers, and they were trying to enforce it. So what they're saying is, you've been set free from Jesus, but to stay free, you've got to do these things. To experience that freedom, yes, he saved you, but you need to be these things as well. That's what they were doing, and they were causing confusion, and the guys were going, well, we're not sure. And Paul hears about it and sees it and rips into them because he sees the power negatively of religion and rules and institutionalization and all those different behaviors that can lead to all of that. And we also do the same at times. So with that in mind, this is what I believe Paul was saying. When you came to Christ, you were so free. Yes, there's Roman occupation. Yes, there's these different things, but you've been radically transformed from the inside out. You've been forgiven and restored and redeemed and justified. You're rescued. It's not just about when you die, you have eternity with God. It's even now. And even though your life may have some challenges, you still know what it is to be free. He sees it. But it's like all these people are coming and saying, this is how you have to behave. What happened was when you came to follow Jesus, you were free, but somebody domesticated you. You were wild, but now you've been domesticated and civilized. I came, Jesus said, to give you freedom. I'm to get uncivilized again. I use a strong word for this series, uncivilized. You might not even agree with my choice of a word. Good, because then you might remember the series. Because I believe we've got tame and domesticated. And the goal of following Jesus is to be a good, nice person. The goal of following Jesus, the model is be well behaved. The model is just do what you want to do. The model is this is what it is to follow Jesus and this is how you vote. This is what it is to follow Jesus and this is how you talk. This is where you shop. This is what you wear. This is what you do and do not put on your body. This is what you think. This is what you listen to. This is where you go. Well, this is that. All these different things that I've got bolted in. This is how you perform. This is how many verses you have to memorize. This is what you have to, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. And we've put this package together of this is what it is. It's called Jesus and. And it's subtle, and some of it has good intention, but it's the very reason that Paul writes this letter to these churches, because they got domesticated and controlled and civilized. And he said, you're to be free. The world's not going to change with that nice, neat, tidy, well-behaved little house on the prairie. There's a darkness that we're called to pierce. And it's not going to take nice, neat, tidy Christian behavior. That isn't the goal. So with that in mind, let me give a little clue here. The very end of Galatians, it's not on the screen. I didn't want to give you too much of a spoiler alert. The very end of Galatians, near the end of chapter 6, Paul just reaffirms his posture and says, whether circumcision or uncircumcision is of no value. What matters most is a new creation. That's what counts. What counts is a new creation, not this other stuff that's been going on. So, the Galatians, that's kind of where they were. So they had this Jesus and stuff. Jesus, but you need Jewish customs. Jesus, but you need some religious rules. Jesus, and you need these behaviors. It was this Jesus and legalism. That's what it is. Why do we do that? So confession number one. Throughout my life, in different seasons of my life, I've got legalistic. Throughout different seasons of my life, I've gone, this is how people have to behave. I've looked at other people and gone, ooh, I'm not quite so sure they're even believers because of that. How could you possibly say you follow Jesus and think this? How could you possibly dress like that? How could you possibly put that on your body? How could you possibly, all these different things that go around. Really call yourself a Christian and you don't know the books of the Bible? Call yourself a Christian and you've not got memorized every single memory verse for the rest of your years. Call yourself, and it's subtle. We don't say it, but we do think it. Why do we go down legalistic paths? Why do we require, you want to come here, you've got to wear a hat, not wear a hat. Why do you come here, you've got to wear a skirt, not wear a skirt. Why does throughout church history have we added these things in? This is why. Our flesh takes over and we like to control, and here's one of the things we like to do. We know righteousness matters, so we like to measure it. We need some kind of a scoreboard. Oh, I want to know that. So thanks for saving me, Jesus. How am I doing? So even personally, am I still pleasing him? Am I still pleasing him? Have I let him down? Here's the other big one. Have I lost my salvation? I'll get into it with anybody on this. No, you cannot. Amen. Side issue, but big one. But all this fear. So here's what legalism leads to: fear and shame and guilt. But Christ came to set you free. Why do we go down there? Because our flesh wants this different measurement system. And it's subtle. Oh, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And the enemy goes, carry on with that one. Because then you get scoreboard. Then you get the second thing that feeds the flesh. It's called superiority and pride. I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as bad as her. I don't do this. I don't do that. And we get to superiority and pride. Here's some subtle examples of good intention, but actually feeds into that nature of legalism. You may have good intention for children and say, if you memorize these 55 verses, we'll give you a gold star. And the gold star is an achievement base. And I know, and I know, and I know. But what it's doing subtly is superiority. I know more than you. God's more pleased with me because I know more. God's more pleased with me because I sing in harmony and you can't even hold a tune. God's more pleased with me because I can whatever. God's more pleased because I pray out loud louder than you. God's more pleased with me because my quiet time's 4 hours and yours is 4 minutes. God's, and we don't say it, but we there's a superiority and a pride, and it comes in and it feeds our flesh, and our heart might not be bad in its heart, but it's being a little bit twisted, and the enemy goes, gotcha. And it happened to the church in Galatia. It's happened throughout church history. It's still happening today. But I'm going to say to you, let me make confession number two. I looked in a mirror towards the end of last year, and in the last 2 weeks of this year, I looked in a mirror and went, what happened, Des? Who tamed you? Why have you become so civilized? Why have you become so concerned about what everybody really thinks? Why are you saying what only ever other people may want you to say? Why have you become domesticated when I called you to be wild? Why have we not lived a life? Why are we not living a life that when it says that I live by faith, it involves risk and adventure and cost? But instead, we think a life by faith is we're going to live by faith, and it's safe and protected and it's preserved and it's all nice and cozy. Read Hebrews 11, moving on. So, we'll carry on with the text. Paul then says in verse 11 and 12 of Galatians 1, I want you to know, brothers, and here's this element of it's not civilized. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel, this good news of Jesus, is I preached, is not something that man made up. It's not a religious man-made system. It's not. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. What's the source of the gospel? What's the source of your life? But man wants to control it. And so he's going to these churches and going, guys, it's nothing to do with what these other guys are saying, your behavior. It's a revelation from the very throne of heaven. This is the gospel. Let's get back to it. He was seeing that it wasn't enough for them at that time. And so he's saying that, and he's saying, this gospel that I preach to you, let me tell you a little bit about myself. The gospel is this. You receive God's forgiveness, restoration, redemption, and salvation by faith. And it's through grace. It's his grace through faith. It's his grace, Christ alone, by grace through faith. It's nothing to do with performance. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. but there is something so powerful about it. Let me just give you, spoiler alert for next week, Galatians chapter 2, a couple of verses from there, just to put this down clearly. Galatians 2:16. No, here's what he said about the gospel. He said, no, that a man is not justified by observing the law. Justified. Help you with this. You'll see this word justified by faith, justified by faith. It's this justification by faith. And some of you are like going, whatification? What does it really mean? And you grow up in church, you never really know. It's a simple way of understanding it. It means being made right with God, justified, made right, straight with God. So I'll help you with this. Justification is this, just as if I had never sinned. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, dying for me and paying for my separation from God, my sin, and being risen again, he did the justification. He made a way for me to be right with God. He forgave me. If I am faithful, I confess my sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Therefore, I am justified, just as if I'd never sinned. What did I do? Squat. He did it all. I confess, he did it all. So, know that a man is not justified by observing the law. Didn't earn it by keeping the rules. And the law being here, Old Testament, especially the Torah. He said, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. No one could be made right with God by just keeping rules because you'll fail. You need a perfect score and nobody can keep a perfect score. He then goes on in verse 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's uncivilized. That's not domesticated. Being crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Let me ask that question to you, does he? Not my behaviors, is he in me? The hope of glory. In me. And then he goes on to say this, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Here's the powerful statement there. Following Jesus by faith. I don't earn it. It's his grace. He's transforming me. It's an inside out thing, not an outside in thing. And if I think it's my behaviors and my rules and I demand other people to do the same, I'm basically saying to Jesus, your cross wasn't enough. He died for nothing then. Galatians 5 verse 1. Week 5, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. The rest of it, he rips into, and we'll get there. But there was a reason about freedom which was so, so significant. Now, with all this, Paul then goes into something that we can go into. He's telling them all this, and he's going, okay, let me get personal about it. Let me tell you my story. Let me remind you about religion and rules and legalism and righteousness of man and where I am today. So he then gives these couple of verses and he starts in verse 13, Galatians 1:13. Okay, guys, he says, look, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Paul was originally born as Saul in Tarsus, again, not in Palestine, a Roman occupation. That's why Paul is by birth a Roman citizen and Hebrew from the tribe of Benjamin. That was all God ordained, amazing. Moving on, so he becomes this Jewish guy. He's incredible, so powerful. Long story short, he even gets invited to Jerusalem. Long story short, he gets invited to get on the elite, the Sanhedrin. He is amazing. He got taught under this great guy called Gamaliel. Everything's incredible about him. He has got this religion thing locked down. He is gold medalist, Olympic champion, world champion. He's got more rings being righteous than you could imagine. This is who he is. Yeah, got it. When this new way is born, this new Jesus and these new followers, he's not happy about it. So he authorizes the death of some. He's that angry against them. His legalistic righteousness, he says, was faultless. But he has an encounter with Jesus. Read Acts 9 this week, first 19 verses of Acts 9. Be reminded of Paul's encounter directly with Jesus, and everything changes. We're talking everything. His whole life was so based upon this legalistic Judaism. It's radical. To somebody who authorizes the death of people who follow Jesus, to be prepared to die himself for following Jesus, that's transformation. So then he goes on to say at the end of chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, he said, "Look, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ." You didn't really know me. "They only heard the report, the testimony. They only heard my story." And this is what they said. "The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me." What's your story? What's your "I once was lost, but now I'm found"? What's your "he forgave me from"? "He rescued me from"? "He provided for me. He restored me. He helped me. He sat with me." What's your story? It's powerful. Transformation came from the inside out. So let me just dive in and get real practical with all of us today. It's kind of Paul's laying it out, chapter 1. So let me explain this. Some of us have become civilized, and some of us are institutionalized when it comes to our Christianity. You didn't invite it, it happened. Some of you have been living life trying to follow Jesus from the outside in. "I'm going to behave right. I'm going to look right. I'm going to talk right." You're outside in, instead of inside out. Some of you were raised in church but not raised in Christ. Some of you were raised in religion, not raised in relationship. And it may have been some good intention. Maybe for some of you it was parents who then said, "This is how you need to behave," without the inside out why. We want to see people change in our city. We want to see them make better value decisions. How is that possible without the power of Christ? We're asking people without Christ to behave like Christ. But maybe for some of you in this room, you're like, "But that's kind of like me." Maybe for some of you, the idea of, I was going to censor it, but I'm not. The reality is this. For some of you, you maybe did grow up in certain environments and you didn't realize it because there was good intention, but it was religion and rules, and it was more driven about behavior modification, not soul transformation. The measurement of righteousness was your how it looked in your behavior than it was a soul transformation. And you felt a little bit controlled. You were told even to not pray like that, but pray like that. Not wear that, but wear that. This, and it had an effect on you. Memorize. And you knew the word of God up here, but he didn't do anything in here. There was no relationship with Jesus, no vibrant walk, no accent, no sense of living by faith, where you do not know what tomorrow holds. You are walking by faith, not by sight. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And some of you are going, "I know the verse, but I don't know the verse." There's a reality of risk and adventure and a white knuckle ride of following Jesus that the early church died for. But we think the goal is no persecution. I want to live in a place. We've got nationalism that took place through Christian history. When Christianity got to Rome, Rome institutionalized it and controlled it. And because they wanted, they couldn't have something with unlimited power. So they tried to control the power of it. And then here we are in the West and we think the goal is nationalism. We have a Christian nationalism that has taken place throughout history in multiple nations. And it doesn't go well because it is a form of godliness while denying its power. It's what Paul said to Timothy. And it's time to become uncivilized. That's what's really gonna be needed. We need a clear distinction from the Christian religion compared to the revolution of Jesus. We need to distinctly define the differences. Our goal is not to populate the Christian religion. Our goal is to see genuine soul and life transformation by the power of Jesus and have relationship with God. That's the goal. It's not populating a religion. It's seeing transformation in every sphere of life that only comes from the gospel through the power of Jesus. That's what's needed. And that drive is not external, it's internal. It starts here. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with we together doing that. Ezekiel even prophesied, I will put into you, I'll remove your heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Religion puts hearts of stone in. And at times my heart has been hardened and become like stone and judgmental, and this is how it has to be. And it's not right. I've become safe and boring. Okay, I'll say it. Please, this has got no, if this feels personal to you, I have no idea. Okay, but let me put it this way. When I look at it, and I love all these college kids down here because you're the hope, here we go. Why is it we've seen this huge decline of next generation not following Jesus? When I was 12, 13 years old and I first received the gospel, I was the only boy in my whole school grade who went to church. So the United Kingdom is about 30 plus years ahead of the church decline, all right? Then you ask the question, why? There's multiple reasons why, but let me give you one. Why is it that some of you have seen your children or grandchildren, metaphorically, walk away from the church? Could it be? It's just a could it be. Could it be that what we have done in saying following Jesus is boring, mundane, predictable, and judgmental in comparison to what Paul was saying to the Galatian church? Hey, to follow Jesus is going to cost you. It was the one who Jesus said, you know what? Me, Jesus, I'll be uncivilized. I will go to a cross and be brutally killed for you. You want to know what uncivilized is? If any man should come after me, he should deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If any man, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If I want to find my life, I need to lose it. How many verses do we want? And the reality is, could it be that a generation was looking at a previous generation and was not seeing white-knuckle faith and risk and adventure and cost and sacrifice? So they didn't walk away. They didn't walk away from Jesus. They just didn't see Jesus in us. They didn't walk away from that. They walked away from boring, mundane, predictable, judgmental. They walked away from religion and rule keeping. And I'm not as good as them. I'm not as bright as them. I'm not an intellectual, so I haven't memorized the Bible. Therefore, I'm not worthy and not good enough. And all of this, I'm going to keep, and our kids, we protect and we preserve and we hold them all back. But what could it be? If we see a next generation walk away from the church, then I want them to know that they're walking away from a life of faith, a life of risk, a life of adventure, a life of others first, a life of piercing the darkness, a life of seeing hope being brought to those who are hopeless, a life of seeing people rescued out of darkness, a life where they see provision and resource coming from the overflow of our hearts, not to please God, but we can't stop it. You see, civilized Christianity, you need to stop me. Civilized Christianity, our behaviors when we think what's doing right is all too often driven by fear. But if I don't, who's going to? Uncivilized Christianity is doing right driven by love. I just have to. I can't not. Driven by love. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the way of Jesus? I wrote these things down. Christian civilization is held together by rules and rituals. That's how it's held together. But the Jesus revolution is fueled by the passion of God and it's directed by his mission. That's the difference. So, are you free? We've got time over these weeks. Maybe things have got bolted on. And they may have been with good intent, but they're stealing a little bit. I had a conversation with somebody after the first service, and they were whole wrestling with this, but I sometimes disappoint God, so as he turned his back on me. Driven by fear. And that element, but that fear, and it denies the power of the cross, denies the power of the love of God. Are you living Christ alone by grace? Your being made right with God is all that he has done, not what you have to do. Is your life driven by behavior modification or soul transformation? Nothing is going to change in my life this year. Nothing is going to change in our Christ-centered community this year unless we go for soul transformation that is only found in the one who lives in us. The power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in me. Have you found that you used to be more dangerous? Were you tame? You've been tamed and domesticated. You've been told to become a good little Christian. Maybe some of you young college guys, it's just like, for me to really fit in, I've got to behave a certain way. I'm not cool enough. I want to be the coolest. I don't know enough. I'll fake what I do know. Have you read this book? I've read it 3 times. Underlined it. I've got all this memorized. When I was a kid, I was top of the class with the most memorized scriptures. When I was this, I was... There comes a point where Paul, who knew, as Saul knew, way, way, way more than we could possibly imagine. He just went, I consider all of that stuff dog dung in compared to knowing Christ. Do you know him? Know him. So today, I'm going to say, it's enough. You need to stop living domesticated faith because it dishonors Jesus. It dishonors him. Trying to say I'm walking by faith with no risk and adventure, it dishonors Jesus. So, I had to write this down. Today, at the start of this 7-week season, where we just go before the Lord and said, show us from your word. I want you to spend time in the book of Galatians. And maybe you get a bunch of questions. And what was this about? Great. That's why we've got groups. We've set even this week, you know, we sit down and we write some questions where you can engage and you can talk more. I can't cover it all in this time. Get in a group and have conversation. Help me with this. You too. Oh, me too. Yeah, I grew up in this environment and all this. And let's help with that. So if you choose to live your life uncivilized, if you make the insane decision to live your life for him and for the sake of others, if you choose to follow the one whose uncivilized path led him to the brutality of the cross, and if you embrace his invitation to take up your own cross and daily follow him, then it has begun. The way out of civilization has begun. The revolution has begun, just like it did day one, centuries later, with guys like a Martin Luther, and here we are today. The enemy has always been about containing us. And he's subtle. If you dare to allow God to unlock his spirit within you, he will unleash in you a raw and untamed faith within. I used to have that. I said as a 17-year-old, I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'm all in. And I did. But then the crowd had their opinions and I listened to them. Not today. Not today. Not this year. I have no personal appeal to you today. Because it's collective. Because every single one of you in this room, whether you're following Jesus or not, has got a burden of religion that's been put upon you. And you didn't maybe invite it, but it's there. And it needs to be broken and unshackled and released. And some of it has to be revealed. And so I'm going to pray for all of us, as we step into this and ask the Lord to reveal, this is what I need to let go of, God. This is what I need to confess. This is what I need to repent. Lord, may help me to see the purity of it all, not the performance that I seem to be taken of it all. So would you join me? Let's stand. Before I pray, let me make this clarification for this year for you in this house. At the end of every service, we have leaders and prayer partners down front, left and right. Probably going to get some signs done to make it obvious. Down, left and right. You should not carry something that is holding you back alone. You need to pray for breakthrough. And the scriptures say when two or three are gathered. Something powerful about that. You should go and get prayer where you need it. There is nothing too big. There is nothing too small. For some of you, you hear all this. We sing a song and you leave. For some of you, you're like, I need to just write something down. I need to sit and have a moment with a brother or sister in Christ to pray with me. I need to sit and just be, sit in this house. Take a seat. Don't rush off. This is going to be a house of prayer. Our prayer gatherings will be the first Monday of the month. And we used to do them in Lamb Chapel. That's too small. It's too small. We will gather. We will pause. We will rejoice. We will ask the Lord. We will reveal. They're going to be the most significant parts of the movement of God for this church this year. So get your calendars. First Monday of the month. If you've got something booked, you've got a few weeks to rearrange it. Let's pray. Whatever posture you need, I just don't accept folded arms. Whatever you need. King Jesus, we declare it again. We give our lives to you today because you gave us your life. We declare this day, would you remind us of what it really means? I need to be crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. King Jesus, would you help us? Would you remind us to unshackle from the things that have really bound us without realizing? Performance-based faith, religious rules, acceptance, rejection, not good enough, too good, all these things, Lord, would you help us unshackle from them in this season? Lord, I make a declaration over this whole body. There is sickness happening in our city and all around the world. So we pray, Lord, your comfort, your healing in the name of Jesus. Yet, Lord, your presence is what we crave most. And we thank you that your name, Emmanuel, means God with us. So we say, thank you, Lord. We don't have to earn your favor. Your grace is enough. We receive your grace afresh today by faith. Forgive us, Lord. We confess those things that have actually held us back from true relationship with you. We repent right now, which means we return to your original best for our lives. We throw off whatever hinders. We pursue you by faith with one another. Be glorified, God. Set us free afresh today. You've paid for the freedom. Help us receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.